Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We're your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg and
Cynthia McClure. Welcome to the adventure that is Community Radio.
Not so long ago, in Central Iowa, a vision was seen and one that would bring all people together, empowering voices. This vision was made manifest on August 17th, 2012. When KHOI was born, it has been 1 year since this birth of a new era in Central Iowa. Now this is the time to dream it, do it, and live it.
KHOI has just turned 1 year old, and we wanted to take this opportunity to look back on how this station came to be. This has been a great adventure for all those who have empowered Central Iowa with its own voice. Now, 1 year after we went on the air, let's tell the story of community radio. This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with Ursula Rudenberg, who is, well, the manager and one of the founders of KHOI Community Radio. She is a solid member on this team, from everything from production to keeping the lights on. So, Ursula, how'd all this happen?
Well, this really all started around 2006. KHOI is part of a national initiative. There were a number of media democracy organizations around the country, including Pacifica Radio, which was the organization that I am still employed by and was employed by at the time. And a coalition was formed between maybe about five or six organizations around the country whose interest was in making sure that community radio also had a place on the dial in many communities around the country. There's a little bit of background to be known. A really good person to describe this would be Pete Treatish, who used to be the director of an organization called Prometheus Radio Project, which is an organization in Pittsburgh that is most well known for making it possible for a low-power radio station to exist. But they also have been very effective lobbying group for community radio in Washington, D.C. with the FCC. And Pete is a good person to tell that story.
Sometime towards the end of the 80s, it started to be recognized that the method for giving out the radio licenses for non-commercial entities had a lot of loopholes. There were some engineers, particularly some from a few ostensibly religious right organizations, started really playing the system, making it all but impossible to get a radio license by creating endless delays in a system of courts at the FCC. Eventually, it became recognized that whoever had the most money was a group that ended up with the radio license. And to its credit, the FCC shut the process down. But then they didn't open it back up for a number of years. So it's been all but impossible to get a radio license for the past 20 years or so if you're trying for a non-commercial band license. In 2000, they announced a new set of rules, and then that, again, was very litigious and went to the courts. But finally, the new rules were upheld, and we think they're quite a bit better. We've been asking for this for a long time. Any opportunity for a radio license in the United States were given out during this time.
Pete Treatish, who used to be the director of an organization called Prometheus Radio Project. So in 2006, it began to be clear that the FCC was going to open up a filing window for what is called NCE stations, non-commercial educational stations. That's the legal classification of what KHOI is. It's the stations that are non-commercial, and they're on the left side of the dial, which is the area that the government has mandated can only be used by non-commercial organizations. After many years of not being able to apply for these frequencies, it became clear that the FCC was going to open up what's called a filing window, which was 1 week within which all of the nonprofit organizations in the country could apply for access to radio frequencies on the non-commercial protected end of the dial. It was considered a hugely historic event because not only was it the first time in many years that this would be possible, also the FCC had established fair guidelines for arbitrating, and also it was pretty clear that there were so few of these left around the country that this would probably be the last filing window, because after this all of the frequencies would be taken. And so it was in the interest of everybody that cared about community radio that we let people know around the country that were community organizations or people interested in community radio so that they could apply for the frequencies, as well as religious broadcasting group, public radio, and other organizations that might qualify but might not make community radio. So we got together for the first time in New Orleans at a conference, and we all sat together in the presidential suite of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which is the professional association for community radio. They were having a conference in New Orleans, and we talked about doing outreach around the country to let people know that this filing window was coming and to help them apply for these frequencies. We said, we're going to, first of all, hire an engineer to figure out where all of the remaining unused frequencies were around the country so that we would know what communities to go to let them know there was something available, and to find out if anybody in those communities wanted to apply, and then we were going to help them apply. We had some of the best in the country. It was a true coalition between people that cared about this. Three of the outstanding professionals who made this possible were Michael Brown, a radio frequency engineer in Portland, Oregon, who has a company named Brown Broadcasting, and John Krigler and Michael Cousins, who are attorneys specializing in FCC law. That's the laws of the Federal Communications Commission, which governs access and management of airwaves. Listen to how they describe these historic events when they were speaking about them back in 2007. Michael Brown.
NCE stands for Non-Commercial Educational Broadcast. This window was for new reserve band FM radio stations. That's those stations that are at 91.9 and below, at the bottom end of the FM band. And this is the first time in 7 years that anyone has had a chance to apply for these. Our emphasis was with the groups that whose main goal was secular progressive programming. There are certainly plenty of engineers who have been working with the religious community for many years. Frankly, in the last 15 years, probably 80% of all the applications for non-commercial stations have been by religious groups. So there are plenty of engineers that do that, and our preference is to work with those whose emphasis is somewhat different.
There's been a freeze on applications for years and years. The last time somebody could file for a new station was in the year 2000. The freeze was lifted for 10 days, ending October 22nd.
And Michael Cousins.
Community radio is a way of getting the word out to people that who can't get it from commercial radio, and they can't get it from religious broadcasters who have a very narrow, distorted perspective when it comes to news events. And they can't get it from television, which has been dumbed down, and they can't get it from newspapers that are dying off. So community radio is an extremely important means of getting people the information they need to make judgments about news and public affairs and to have entertainment options that aren't provided by giant chains of non-local broadcasters.
John Krigler.
The FCC grants non-commercial licenses still on an application basis. It doesn't use lotteries or auctions. It has built into that application what it calls a point system, which is a sort of mini hearing designed to pick the best application if there are competing applicants. This is the first opportunity anybody has had to file for a non-commercial station for over 7 years. So there's a lot of pent-up excitement and planning. all other broadcast spectrum is doled out by an auction process to the highest bidder. So this is the last opportunity to have a fight about values and how public spectrum ought to be used. There's going to be a lot of jostling and shoving over who gets these frequencies, and who gets them is going to determine how they're used. Whether they're used, many of the applicants are Indian tribes or people who haven't had radio stations before. So I think there will be social consequences that the FCC won't actually evaluate, but that will be consequences of this application process.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. You are listening to interviews from individuals who have made community radio possible in Central Iowa. We are celebrating KHOI's first year on the air. This has been a great adventure, which you can be a part of.
After we had employed an engineer to find out where all the frequencies were, we headed out across the country to let people know that there was this opportunity and that there was help for them, because this was kind of a new idea for everybody. It's relatively complicated to apply for a license, legally and technically, and we knew that people would need help. So we created a kit that made it real easy and streamlined it. The filing window opened in October of 2007. And within 1 week, thousands and thousands of groups all over the country applied through a website for frequencies. It was an enormous rush of applications, and we basically got everybody across the finish line that wanted to get there. It was quite an operation.
This is Charles Sherrod from Southwest Georgia and from the Southwest Georgia Project for Community Education Incorporated. We filed the first chance we got, and we got in, and we're happy about it.
This is Mary Frances. We're in Norman, Oklahoma. My church, the Norman Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, has filed with the FCC for a broadcast radio.
I'm in Ames, Iowa. My name is Roger Parmenter. We filed for a community radio station.
My name is Nicole Roddy. I'm representing the United Homa Nation. We are located in South Louisiana. We filed one application on Monday, October 15th, and another application on Tuesday, October 16th.
October the 18th, around 1:45, We sent the application in for a power radio station here in Moore County for Voices for Justice. It was a moment of rejoicing and just downright happiness, to tell you the truth.
I'm Brett Gordon from Iowa City. At 1,800 hours, 36 minutes, coordinated universal time on the 19th of October, 2007, the Kicker FM submitted. So coming soon to a Marconi set near you, Southeast Iowa.
This is Myron Jackson from Kabul, Missouri, and our community group, Real Community Radio Network, applied for a new non-commercial FM license. We did it today, October 18, 2007. We are thrilled as we can be. We're getting lots of feedback from people who are excited about the possibilities we have to bring real local community radio to our area.
Well, we're Cultural Energy in Taos, New Mexico, and on Tuesday night, October 16th, our attorney, Matt McCormick, applied for a license for a new public radio station for all of northern New Mexico with the help of Mike Brown in Portland, Oregon, and we hope we'll be on the air within a year.
For 24 years, we've made efforts to try to help people, so now we get awarded the license for the station. We'll be able to do a greater good toward helping more people in our area and throughout the state of North Carolina also. October the 18th of 2007 at 1:45 was a great day for us.
This is Susan Cole from Bozeman, Montana. And last week, our group called Gallatin Valley Community Radio filed an application for a new nonprofit educational FM station.
My name is Diane Brown, and I live in the Panhandle of Florida. And we filed our application for our radio station today at 4:26 Central Time. And I am still just so excited and exhilarated. It's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's to think of it, the first progressive radio station in the Panhandle is going to be just fantastic. It's going to be such an opportunity for the community. It's wonderful.
Gather around the Philco for a new show with a local independent voice. So come on, get up and shout and tune into your neighbors. This what small town living is all about, and we can keep it in the family. Keep our radio free.
Naturally, being from Ames, Iowa, the first thing I did was to look and see whether my hometown had some frequencies available. And in fact, there were some frequencies available. So I started beating the bushes in Ames to find an organization that would be willing to act as the applying organization. We also needed somebody to spearhead the project. And I came to Ames a number of times looking for people that felt they had the energy and the interest to do that. Found some possibilities, but they ended up, for one reason or another, not panning out. And so it was a little bit of a mystery. At the same time, through my work with Pacifica, I organized a weekly conference call for people all over the country that wanted to apply. It was like a support group. And that group actually, to this day, still meets and helps each other with whatever issues they have, because by now most of those people are radio operators around the country. They went through the process, succeeded, and now they're helping each other build stations. Well, one day on this call, a new voice showed up, a man named Roger Parmenter. And he told me he was living in Colorado at the time, and he just happened to be moving to Central Iowa for other reasons, and he was interested in starting a radio station. So for many, many months, Roger and I got to know each other over the phone during these calls, and I suggested a number of groups for him to connect with here in Ames while he was moving to Ames, and eventually it was the Unitarians that agreed to be the applying group, and the application was filed through the Unitarian Church. And then it was really, because there were so many applications in this area, we had a lot of competitors. And so it really took another 2 years before the dust cleared and the FCC granted us what they call a permit to construct. And so the Unitarians worked with Roger. Roger did, in fact, put out a lot of his own money and certainly his time. And he went through the process of filing the application, and I'll let him tell that story.
So I discovered in 2007, in February of 2007 to be exact, that I was listening to satellite radio and they were doing a thing on media. There was a conference on media and improving media and that sort of thing. It's my belief that a lot of people really don't know what a community radio station is and why it's different from an NPR station, certainly why it's very different from a commercial broadcast station. And anyway, they said, well, you realize that sometime this year there's going to be a window for community radio. And my wife and I lived in Fort Collins. We were going to Las Vegas, so we were in the middle of Arizona and seeing the countryside that looked all the same. But I said, that's something I ought to do. And I knew there was already a community radio station in Fort Collins. But I said, you know, we both retired from Hewlett-Packard. We're living in Fort Collins. It's a nice place to live, et cetera, et cetera. But where could we have a community radio station? And she said, well, you know, I'd love to be near our grandkids in Iowa. And we visited Iowa fairly regularly. They live in Boone. So we looked there and we looked at a couple of other, you know, and I said the places in Colorado that were possible already had community radio stations. And she says, let me explain to you, we're not moving 1 mile further west in Colorado than we live now, mm-hmm. because I want to see those grandkids. So, yeah, and it turned out there were maps. Prometheus Radio in Philadelphia had chartered a couple of engineers to do some rough analysis of various spots. And so you could apply to them and they would give you permission to see their maps. And so the one for Central Iowa showed that there was open frequencies and there was possibilities of a station. So I got real excited about it and talked with some people at Iowa State in the Ag School and that kind of thing, because I saw them as a way to get some of the programming that they do out. So, but anyway, you just fish around. But then I got involved with two different engineers, and they very much figured out a pattern.
Who were the engineers?
Brown Broadcast in Portland, Oregon. And the other guy was Joe DiPietro in Gainesville, Florida. And they're both very well-known engineers who can come up with an analysis of, is there a real open frequency in your area? So they did, both of those guys helped me out by doing a preliminary analysis. And then it turns into, you've got to give them some money. So this was February and March kind of time frame of 2007. But then after that, it turns out that the deadline was sometime in October. The FCC deadline was in October of 2007. You had a few months to get everything together and fill out all the forms. And Mike Johnson was the guy that is in sub-engineer that he had me work with, who was very, very good. But, I mean, I got calls as late as midnight. Well, they're in Oregon, so when they're overworking, when they're working late, it's only 10 o'clock at night when they call you at midnight. But, I mean, it was a series of calls, and what do you want to do? So why did we not do Ames? Ames was available, you know, the frequency is available. You could have picked Ames as your city of license. So wherever you put your tower, mm-hmm. you have to have a very strong signal over the city of license.
Okay.
And so the thought process was that with 50,000 people here, some other group may choose to put in an application. So if you do, and it comes down to you got two people, it's going to be really tough with the FCC as to who really gets the application or gets the license application. So the thought was, if you pick Story City, it turns out you can get a strong signal over Story City. You can put a tower between the two places. And nobody in their right mind was get a station in Story City unless you were rich. 1% of 8,000 people making contributions to your station is not going to give you $100,000 a year to run a station. So, and we've all gotten around to the $100,000 a year amount with no delusions any longer.
Yeah, it's actually $125,000.
And so, in fact, nobody did put in an application from Story City. Nobody put in an application from Ames. So we didn't know, you don't know that until the FCC window closes. They then publish all of the applicants and all of their applications on their website. So you can go read what everybody else submitted and what patterns they made. So why did we pick two? Well, Mike Johnson at the last minute says, you know, we can pick this other frequency and we can have a second pattern around Story City. It won't be as big as the one that will reach Ames, but it may be something that you end up trading with somebody. And in fact, that's what really happened.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. You are listening to stories about how community radio was made possible in Central Iowa. We're celebrating KHOI's first year on the air, and this has been a great adventure, which you can be part of too.
So what happened is the government says, we're going to show where people conflict. If you pick 89.1, other people pick 89.1 in the state of Iowa. There was some people in Jefferson, for example, that wanted 89.1. There's some people in Carroll that wanted 89.1. We ended up getting 89.1. We were in with 15 other people. So they published, so they took some time, researched it, and in every part of the country, they told everybody that you're in group, and we were in group 15. No particular value to that number. But anyway, when they finally analyzed it, and engineers like these guys, two guys, they love to tell you who they think, and they were both very accurate as to who was in our group. So the FCC then said, we will ultimately decide, but if you can escape, if you can change your pattern and escape from all other competing people, we're very happy to accept the negotiations that were privately carried on between two applicants. In other words, I'm going to cease and desist, and you're going to get it type of thing. So if you can figure out how to change your pattern and avoid all the people in Group 15, then you will look at your analysis, and if it proves out to be true, we'll accept the decision that you teams wanted. The one guy we had that was the closest was a guy that wanted us to tower in Gilbert till he could reach Ames. He's a Christian broadcaster up in Blue Earth, Minnesota, and he has a number of stations along there. He goes down to Mason City, he goes down to Buffalo Grove, Iowa. So he wanted to extend and reach Ames, and that was the closest one. So the two of us were competing for broadcast to Ames. I mean, yes, he's in Gilbert, but the population of Gilbert isn't what he's after. He's after the 50,000 people in Ames. So anyway, we talked initially, and he wasn't particularly interested, but as time wore on, I mean, this is now getting to be a couple of years later, but finally, by the end of a couple of years and no movement in the group, he and I managed to talk, and their family, their child was having a new baby down in Texas, and so he was driving along I-35 to go down there, and his wife had already flown down to be with the mother and all, and so we met at 6:30 in the morning at the McDonald's up in Story City. And he says, I'll give you 15 minutes. He gave me a half an hour to pitch my thing. And I said, well, look, we can give you the smaller thing at $0.00 cost if you'll withdraw your application. We had two frequencies. He put in on 89.1 just like we put in on 89.1. So the deal was you drop your application for 89.1 and we'll give you the 88.3, which is clear, but it's just for the Story City area. Hey, it didn't cost him anything, and we
His broadcast.
Yeah, he extends it. And it's the same program he does in Buffalo Grove. He's a little bit ahead, and it didn't cost him anything, and he didn't lose. He got something out of the application. And so the lawyers got involved. You don't just get a broadcast engineer. Michael Cousins is our FCC communications lawyer, and so you get to pay both of these folks. So anyway, it all got worked out, so he got that for nothing. So now we paid again for, let's see how we can expand the circle. Mm-hmm. They had done preliminary things. When you're submitting this to the FCC, mm-hmm. you have to do all the paperwork again and show them that, you know, this doesn't interfere with others. So, you know, we're now into 2008 or so. Mm-hmm. So once you get approved, you get a 3-year window to complete your construction permit. So yes, your application's been accepted. Yes, you've been awarded. And so the reward is you get a construction permit. So your application gets approved, and they give you exactly 3 years. And that's why it's August 17th, 2012 was the end of our period. So what was 3 years before that would have been 2009. Got it in August 2009.
And we went on the air August 7th, 2012,
so about a week before it was expiring. My friends at HP always had a statement: the first day is the best day of a project.
Once the permit had been acquired, it became clear to everybody pretty quickly that the Unitarian Church was not really set up to run a radio station. And there was a general feeling by everybody, the people involved with the station and also many of the Unitarians as well, that KJY really should not belong to one group in town, that it really should be an organization that was a standalone organization to run the radio station so that it would really represent all of the community. And so a nonprofit organization was created specifically to own KHOI, and then the permit was transferred from the Unitarian Church to KHOI-FM Incorporated. So today KHOI is an independent organization that exists solely for the sake of running the radio station.
Now this is Community Radio for Central Iowa, KHOI-FM 89.1 on your radio dial and located in Story City and Ames.
So one of our goals was then there was a grant that used to be available, and it was through the Department of Commerce. We applied the first year. What it did is it supported you in starting a radio station. So the government owned the equipment for 10 years, and then it became yours, and they would put like $100,000 or so into getting you the shelter, getting you on the tower. The first year, they did give one award to Iowa, but it was to the guy in Murray, Iowa, in southern Iowa. And they can only give so many, they have to balance it with all the states. So anyway, this grant that we filed the first year, we talked to the people who do that work, and they said, no, you guys did a very, very good job of your application to us. It's just we had to make some decisions, and because you're further out on your final date that you have to be on the air, we're going to pass on you this year, but come back next year. So we did. So we worked on the smoothing the material out again and came back the next year, and guess what?
They didn't have the grant anymore.
That's correct. The federal government cut that program in the Congress, and it was cut like 2 days after the final deadline for submitting the application. So we submitted a great application the second time and got $0.00. So this is, you got to buy transmitters, you got to buy shelters, you got to buy antennas. So we were at a little bit of a setback, and it meant that we had to raise the money from the community. And that's what got us started with doing things like porch stories. So that was one way to bring attention to the public. We wrote a grant to Story County Group, we won that, and that gave us the money to buy a used shelter. So I searched around. There's a guy over near Iowa City that gets telecommunication shelters and used ones, and he picked this one. The one we bought was the smallest one that he's had in a long time, and he got that up in northern Michigan when somebody in the internet business closed something down. And anyway, they had a couple of these shelters, and so a few thousand dollars added to the grant from Story County gave us our equipment shelter.
Basically everything came locally. We didn't get government assistance.
Right. Our equipment is 100% owned by KHOI. Porch stories led to a couple of people who were very, very positive about having this voice within the community and made substantial grants to us. And so we were able to work with a group, RF Specialties, down in Kansas City. The guy came up here. He says, well, I don't like to work with anybody that I haven't met and seen their situation. So he drove up, and he does stuff up in upper Michigan and upper Minnesota with the American Indians. So he's got 30 years of experience at dealing with things. So he came up and he saw what we were trying to do and where we were going to be and where our tower was going to be, and we spent the day, and he said, you know, I can work with you guys. And, you know, your background in Hewlett-Packard and in RF and microwave is usually I get people that don't understand what radio broadcasting is. They don't know anything about the details of how you're going to get this signal out to the public. You know, how do we get it out of this building and out to the tower? And then we worked with ICS, is the company locally here that does the microwave links around town. It turned out that they have a tower on the Sheldon Munn Hotel. Mm-hmm. They got excited about us, and so their engineer was willing to work out the size disc that we needed to reach there, and then it gets in their system, so our signal gets in their system. So now we have the signal from the person talking here, gets on that in their system. So ICS, they were very cooperative.
That is an interesting story and kind of an epic adventure, and I hope the adventure continues. And those who are listening, consider themselves a part of this community. We're here to benefit you. So if you have a story, contact us and let us know what it is. This is your voice on the air.
Once that voice comes to life, it just is, you know, and it only gets better. And I hear it now.
come in and volunteer or support us financially, because we could use that kind of help.
I ran down the road, pants down to my knees, screaming, please come help me. That Canadian shaman gave a little too much to me, and I'm writing a novel, because it's never been done before. First house that I saw, I wrote house up on the door, and told the people who live there they had to get out, cause my reality is realer than yours, and there's no time in the present. And there's a black dog on the bed. I went to the backyard to burn my only clothes, and the dog ran out and said, you can't turn nothing into nothingness with me no more. Well, I'm no doctor, but that monkey might be right. And if he is, I'll be walking in my whole life. I rode to Malibu on a dune buggy with Neil. He said, you're gonna have to drown me down on the beach if you ever wanna write for real. And I said, I'm sorry. Young man, what was your name again? Now everywhere I go in West Hollywood is filled with people pretending they don't see the actress, and the actress wishing that they could. We could do ayahuasca. Baby, if I wasn't holding all these dreams, something about the way Violet whips her hair that makes me empty my pockets, holding cord in the corner, burning 20s as if I was the mayor. Well, I don't need any new friends, mama, but I could really use something to do. So if you're up for some time, I swear you wouldn't have to be my muse. Sarge, drinking poppy tea. I could have sworn last night I passed out in my van, and now these guys are pawn one for me. I never leave the canyon, cause I'm surrounded on all sides by people writing novels and living on amusement rides.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. You are listening to interviews from individuals who have made community radio possible in Central Iowa. We are celebrating KHOI's first year on the air. This has been a great adventure, which you can be a part of.
Donna DiBianco, we're speaking to you in Santa Fe.
Hi.
You were one of the people that made it possible for KHOI to get on the air. You came from Santa Fe, and you helped us get on the air.
Beautiful memories. It seems like, in my opinion, the community really, really appreciated the work that it took to put a community radio station in their area. Many, many hours, many, many, almost years, quite a few years of organizing and putting that together, so, and finally convincing them.
So you are part of the Radio for People Coalition, and one of the reasons we wanted to include your voice on this show was because So many people around the country help each other. And can you describe a little bit the community radio world?
The community radio world is so amazing, and the people that are involved are so talented, and their skills are so amazing. Whether it be legal work that needs to be done, whether it be compliance issues, whether it be building, we gather together on an even platform and do as much outreach as we can collectively to help stations like KHOI as well as other community stations to get on the air. We like to turn the I can't do this, we can't do this, how do we do this, to yes, we can do this, let's do it. It's a brain trust and a collective where we share our ideas. And when we work collaboratively, we have the opportunity to accomplish so much more than if we were all working alone in our own little vacuums.
Yeah.
Ron Latson is one of the family here at KHOI, and he has not only been a voice here at KHOI, but someone who has given a lot to building this station in the early days on the air.
So, Ron, when was the first time you came to KHOI? Describe what happened.
My first time to coming to KHOI.
What were you doing?
I was just walking downtown, and I saw the signs in the buildings outside the window saying that you were starting a radio station here, and I was like, a radio station in Ames? That sounds kind of interesting, and I really wanted to be involved. So I came in and I talked to you, and we went from there, and I've been here ever since then.
So describe your experience with KHOI so far.
My experience with KHOI has been family. I mean, I think we have an eclectic bunch of weird people that we all get along. I mean, you find every type of personality here at KHOI. And I mean, it's really a home. It's a place where people can come and learn about radio, and they can come and experience everyday life, what's going on here in Ames.
And why do you do it?
I do it because I'm crazy. I do it because, you know, it's kind of a passion of mine to do radio, but it's also a passion to just be around great people. I mean, I really like the people that come to KHOI and that work here and that hang out here and contribute, and that's what keeps me coming, of the people that actually are involved with the radio station.
Now, you don't just do the DJ show.
No. I started out being one of the original Flash Drive crew members, where we drove to the tower.
The award-winning Flash Drive crew.
Yes, the award-winning Flash Drive crew.
Explain.
Well, we had to, for the day's program, we had to put it on a flash drive, download it, organize it, and put it on a flash drive, take it to the tower, and load it up for that day's program. So that's how we became known as the Flash Drive crew. And we basically kept the station going with the programming that we put up. We had to be up there by 4 o'clock to get the programming on the air. And it was a great, fun learning experience. There was a lot of days where it was long, but I think we all learned from being a part of the Flash Drive crew. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. It didn't seem like it at the time. It seemed like, man, because I heard some of your stories that you could tell are more amazing than mine, but yeah.
We were not always having fun.
Yeah, but like I say, and that's what people don't realize about community radio. It's not just coming down here, putting on the show, and, you know, doing it. It's about learning about radio and having those experiences of the Flash Drive crew. And, you know, I was here the first day we actually went on the air. We had our first party there. I've been part of both fundraiser drives. So, I mean, it's been a very, very, very great experience for the first year of KHOI.
What was it like for you when we went on the air?
It was a very, very tingling and humbling experience to know, wow, we actually got on the air. I mean, you know, see so many people work so hard to get, you know, on the air, and then finally be here, you know, when they broadcast that first song and know that we were actually on the air as a radio station. And that was really humbling, but it was really tingling, saying that, man, you know, it's kind of frightening that we're on the air now. We have to really do this.
You also were one of the first people that made Local Talk possible.
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember our late nights making Local Talk happen, and like I say, that was a great learning experience of how to actually pre-produce a program, you know, edit it and get it on the air, do the reporting and getting it on the air. So, like I say, KHOI is more than just a radio station, it's a learning experience, and that's what people who come here and volunteer should know, that you're not going to just do radio, you're going to learn about the community and learn about radio.
So everybody here on KHOI who has a radio show also does volunteer work to keep the infrastructure going at the station. You do some other things, too, that you haven't mentioned.
Oh, yeah. I also edit the community bookshelf. I love doing that. I love working with Mary Richards and helping, you know, her program go. And it's a very, very strong program, and it features a lot of local writers from the Ames area that have books that they want people to know about, and it's a really great show. I also have started doing the website, learning how to get that stuff done. It's a slow process, but that's going great. And I also help with editing and producing shows, so it's a great, fun experience. It's a really great, fun experience.
Has it had any impact on your life?
It has an immensely great impact on my life. As a matter of fact, I drive an old crappy van around town, and I painted the KHOI logo on the back of my van, so everybody that sees my red and black van driving around town, they can pull up to the back of it, and they'll see KHOI on it. So I'm basically advertising KHOI 365 days a year, so when you see me, I want you to tune into the station and see what we're doing and see what we're about.
So how did it impact your life?
It impacted my life in a way that it helped me grow as a person, and it helped me become a part of another family. Like I say, KHOI is a family, and we all, you know, we have our ups and downs, but we deal with day-to-day operation of the radio station, and that's how our family works. You have your ups and downs. So it impacted my life about being a second family for me.
And how do you grow as a person?
I've grown as a person with the knowledge that I'm getting from KHOI and the friendships that I'm getting, and just producing shows and learning that I can do it. You know, it's not as hard as you think it would be to put a show on the air and keep it on a consistent basis. Because, I mean, doing Soulful Express, it's a weekly, it's an every week thing. So you have to learn how to be consistent, and you have to learn how to dedicate yourself and commit yourself to a project. Mm-hmm. So I've grown in that way.
Fun?
Oh, it's great. I mean, to actually do a live show is one of the best exciting experiences anybody would ever want to do. I mean, you're sitting there, you're playing music, and I know, like I said, I have my Facebook page, so you're getting these comments, and as a DJ, that's really nice to know that you're putting out material that people are actually loving and they're enjoying. So it's impacted my life a lot.
I mean, one of the advantages through my work with Pacifica and the Radio for People Coalition, I knew a lot of people who wanted to help, because this is, it's actually a pretty small world, community radio, and it's a world in which everybody helps each other. And so a lot of people have come to Ames by now to help us get off the ground, and we probably wouldn't have done it without them. Everybody came at no cost. Everybody has volunteered their time. So it's really been, from day one, an incredible, not only local team effort, but national team effort. It started with a national team of people who had a vision, and now it has honed down into a local team here in Ames of people who now are carrying the vision forward. And it's just like the most a beautiful, amazing thing to see, you know, a dream that you had actually being populated by real people like you, Cynthia, and to really, you know, make it a reality.
And anything else you'd like to add, Ursula?
Oh, I just know that we're here to stay. Maybe 6 months ago, I was feeling this is a lot of work, and it's all kind of, in my mind, there was no choice but for it to happen, but it was still pretty scary. But today, I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like we're here to stay. This is only going to grow, and that's just a really wonderful feeling.
Well, yeah, you know, life gets better for everybody, even those who are listening. You know, it's very empowering to be able to do this.
Yeah, it's really remarkable what we've been able to do with what we have. We started out with nothing. We've been nickel and diming it. We still have very little. We still don't even have a broadcast studio yet. We actually haven't had that much to work with, but we've also had a lot because we have a radio frequency. We have a license to broadcast. And with what we have, it's amazing what we've been able to do, and it just indicates that there's just so much more to come. It's very, very exciting.
We were raised by wolves, and we are still wild, and we howl when the troubled wind blows. And in the TV's blue light, four assassins will lie, every whale just a-going down slow. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And all the people you meet down in the streets may be good, but they don't want to know. So they cover their eyes for who wants to be sad. Life is sweet at the bottom of the sea. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And the mothers will cry, fathers stay up all night with a worry that goes to the bones. And if your God makes war, then he's no God I know, 'cause Christ would not send boys to die. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And don't you get low as hell when the peace dove is felt by a man with the blackest of minds. And above the din, let the sighing begin, as we're bound for the longest of days. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart.
Listening to Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa, KHOI FM 89.1 on your FM dial, Story City, Ames.
This is Ursula Rudenberg with Cynthia McClure, and we were your hosts today for Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we have explored people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Our focus today was on KHOI's first birthday, and what went into making community radio in central Iowa possible. KHOI has been a great adventure in which the community's voice can grow and empower central Iowa.
This is not an isolated event, but has been a national campaign to create community radio. And the success of these radio stations empowers the communities in which they are established in. The people interviewed today were KHOI's founders, Roger Parmenter, Ursula Rudenberg, along with Donna DiBianco, who is an engineer from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Ron Latson, who is a DJ, volunteer, and board member of KHOI. To all those individuals who were gracious enough to share their stories and information, thanks again.
You can also listen to this show and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join our team as a reporter, please contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.